You know what I am sick and tired of? Faggots. Can't post anything on social media because somebody's offended with some crayon flag in their bio. Faggots! They got like this furry, tootie, pornography crap. Faggots! Can't even get an email. Because when you get an email from a business, a corporation, whatever, pronouns and the signature. Faggots! You got homos buying children. What kid wants two faggot daddies? Faggots!
What in the what did you just do?
Oh, that's a young lady on YouTube. Her name is Melanie Mack. Her channel, one of her channels, is Melanie Mack Go Boom. She does video games. She does other things. She even has a channel where she just reads out of the Bible. And that was one of her rants on Twitter the other day. And you might argue with her delivery, but it's kind of hard to argue with the message. But check her out. Give her a like. Give her a follow. She is a Proverbs 29 woman, if there ever was one.
I don't know. Wow.
It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. No Ziggy, no Scott. We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Coach. The other guys aren't here. They're still lame.
Yeah.
You know, and this is our 2-hour inaugural episode.
Yeah. You know, we're doing it.
We're changing it up in 25, and they're not here. So, yeah.
So, I told you I talked to Tom Del Vaccaro, and he's agreed to come on. So, we're going to start doing a lot more guest appearances.
Very good. That's right. We have... who's scheduled on the 20th? Your conspiracy buddy or your conspiracy expert, former SF guy?
He's actually a spec ops, did several tours in Afghanistan, and he just likes to follow all that stuff.
Right on. Yeah, so we'll... and we have plenty of conspiracies to talk about.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make notes on things because I want to write stuff down. Oh, we can do this, do this, do this. I can't keep up.
He's that guy that can quote you kind of chapter and verse on all that kind of stuff. It's right kind of crazy.
So we got him coming on. We have your buddy Tom, who was... he's an attorney. He was in charge of the California Republican Party for quite some time.
Ran for the Senate against Kamala.
That's right. That's right. And then I'm still working on scheduling him, but a buddy of mine who's a 30-year homicide detective, private detective, he has in New York City. Uh-huh. He has all kinds of stories. One of my author pals, so we've got some books to talk about, too. So that's coming as well, and pretty much anyone else we can think of.
Well, like I said, that's I think I told you, I showed you that one of Trump's kids was at their wedding, and
yes, you did, yes, you did.
So. Anyway, it'll be interesting, and now we won't be so pressed for time.
That would be nice because we start recording earlier.
did you ever listen to those two podcasts you were going to listen to?
No, I've only listened to the
Trump. So you are as lame as Scott and Ziggy, huh? Wow.
Yes, and this...
Neither one of them.
No, I know. This time I could say I lost track and forgot about them.
Yeah, they're starting to back up, right? Because now there's another one I just listened to the other day, another
Tucker
Carlson one. It's funny because my company, we just changed healthcares, mm-hmm. and we actually changed to, United, the guy that got murdered.
Yeah. Okay. United Health. Yeah.
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 We just changed to that one.
All right.
And this guy does 2 hours with Tucker exposing, just the whole healthcare system. I guess this guy is now. Well, you know what? We'll save this. We should talk about it.
Yeah, because I do have something in the stack here that brings that up, and even my wife last week was, you know, her grandmother's 97 and had to go into the hospital recently, and now the insurance company is doing all the shenanigans about what they're going to not pay for, and it's been a conflict in the house, and my wife's been in charge of that, and, you know, she's the most patient person in the world until she gets upset, and then she cusses like a sailor, and yeah, so it's
you got to listen to this podcast.
I will.
This guy's an insight. In fact, he's the owner of a company called Ways to Well, which they do all this comprehensive stuff to mitigate illness before it happens, right?
Okay,
as opposed to band-aiding it with meds.
Right.
And he's an insider, and boy, he shed some light on the healthcare insurance, just the process, mm-hmm. and the money, and
they're parasites.
Well, it's just but there's some things that I never knew about.
Mm-hmm.
BPM, I believe it's, or no, PBM. It's the pharmacy benefit manager, and it's a third party that makes trillions of dollars off of meds.
Yeah,
and it's pretty crazy. You got to listen to it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I recommend everybody listen to that.
Very good,
Tucker Carlson.
Well, we always start with a crazy on the way, things amusing that happened to us, either on the way to the studio or prior to it, the days prior. Anything on your plate that is interesting?
A shout out to Du Bois.
Oh yeah,
because the Cybertruck is back. That's for you, Scott. We talked about it when I finally picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's some tiny little stupid electronic module that they were waiting to get in, and I guess parts are a little difficult to get, but. Worse than that, and this, of course, this is through the two holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's always weird when Christmas and New Year's fall in the middle of the week.
Yeah,
and just for business purposes, everything. It's just kind of those 2 weeks are just kind of shot,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it throws everything off.
It's just well, but I mean, nothing really gets done,
right?
And he's like, "Dude, I got two guys that can work on Cybertrucks, two,
mm-hmm.
and with the holidays, and yeah." So they had it for I don't know. 5 weeks.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice to see it this morning.
Yeah, it was nice to drive it this morning.
I'm glad you have it back.
Yeah.
For me, I actually have two. I have a neighbor who's, he and I've gotten to be friends over the last couple of years, and he and his wife just bought a.
Quit lying. You don't have any friends.
No, I do. I do. I have a couple. So he and his wife just got a new dog, and every now and then he's out walking it, and as is our custom, we'll wave and talk. And well, the other day, I'm out on the porch with a cigar and I see this guy out walking his dog, and I immediately think it's Gary. So I wave at him and he waves back, and then I see it's a different dog, and then I look at the fellow and it's like, no, that's not Gary, that's a different guy. And I thought, well, he probably thinks I'm an idiot, you know, just someone
you're like waving
just
at him
just randomly waving, you know. And I just thought that was kind of funny, and it's like, well, you know, it doesn't hurt to be nice. So, you know, he'll just say, well, I was just being nice, whatever. Well, yesterday I see him again, and this time I'm thinking, well, do I wave or do I not?
He's just going to think I'm flirting with him.
Yeah, exactly. And I was looking at my phone, so it's like if he glances over at me, he'll see I'm looking at my phone and not watching him, and then I just happened to glance up at the same time.
And then you waved at him.
No. He waved at me.
Oh, so now he's flirting with you.
Yes. So it's like, okay, so I don't know who this chap is, but we have decided to be friendly, and that's fine. And then my wife. I have to be careful because
I was gonna say.
The last time I told the story about her, I got in big trouble. But you know, over Christmas, she gave me her list. And I bought some things off the list, a book and a 49er shirt that she wanted.
Uh-huh.
Well, it turns out the shirt doesn't fit, even though she specified the size and everything. Just you know, whatever. So, yeah, send it back. It's no problem.
You should have known better.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, I've got to get the next largest size and this, you know. And then she said later, actually, can you keep the too small one and then get the bigger one and then I'll try them on again. And it's like, well, you've already determined that the first one doesn't fit. And she's like, well, I want to make sure it, I want to compare it to the other one and I'll pick the one that's best and we'll send the other one back. And I just like, okay, whatever you want, babe. And
you're calling this your crazy on the way?
Well, it gets better. See, our last anniversary. See, she gave me the list of things that she wanted as a gift.
What number is that now?
Six.
Oh, yeah.
So
you're already here at six.
Yeah, this year, this August, will be seven. Yeah. So she wanted a water bottle for her bicycle. And I thought, well, that's no problem. I'll just go down to Dick's and we'll pick one up and I'll attach it and problem solved. Well, I can't find, I've tried three, maybe four water bottles and various harnesses. I can't get one that fits that bicycle. So I went back to the shop we got it at, and I said, how can I do this? And they showed me the same model that she bought, and there's supposed to be a little stud on one of the center pipes.
Yeah, weld right in there.
Yeah, and then you unscrew that top piece, pop in, and yeah. And I thought, well, I don't know if her bike has one of these, but this will solve everything, so I'll go home and look. I get home, look at her bike, there's nothing there, there's no stud there. And so I said, honey, I don't know how to fit this. And she says, okay, we'll get something else. Well, then I forgot. So, and then she hits me with, you know, I need to replace some glasses that broke. So here's a set of glasses I want. And it's $200. And I'm like, you know, I just dropped a grand on Christmas. It's like, can I buy this when I pay off everything else? You know? And then she's like, well, no, this is a special deal, so I'll buy it, and then you give me the money later. I'm like, that's fine. And it's like,
You're not really learning this very fast, are you?
Well, yeah, her wants and needs are just astronomical.
It just gets better.
I know. I really do need to write things down more because I do tend to forget things.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, every year.
It's the mad cow.
Yeah, you're a year older.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, for the show today, our two-hour inaugural, we have newspapers deleting crime stories to protect the perpetrators. This actually I don't think is a bad thing. Californians still on the move with a lot of one-way U-Haul trips. Never say these four words to your kids. And then insurance companies... We'll hit that as we touched on earlier. Terrorist attacks, the New Year's Day stuff, the Cybertruck go boom. Maybe we'll hit on that. And then some Mark Hamill things. He admits that, you know, Luke Skywalker, he admits that the election drove him crazy. They took the security robots out of the New York subway. We'll get into that. Because it turns out they're creepy, contribute nothing to safety, and won't take bribes or sneak away for sex in a bathroom. And then a couple of things that we have had planned for past shows that we never got to that are still kind of evergreen, and we'll hit some of those. Because as I said, it's our two-hour inaugural, so we need a lot of stuff to talk about.
Well, there is a lot of stuff to talk about.
Well, we have 1 minute. So if you can see anything to contribute to that list, just let me know during the break.
Sure.
And we can
Well, I've got add-ons for all this stuff, too. By the way, you know, I also noticed that we don't have that
the stopwatch, the clock timer thing. Yeah, timer. I know. Well, I gotta pay off a bunch of stuff, and then we'll deal with that. In the meantime, when I hold up two fingers like this, that means two-minute warning.
Okay, there you go. We got the two-minute warning. I like it.
Oh, and we're going to debut a new segment here at halftime called, today it's called Women Behaving Badly. We'll figure something else out later because nobody wants to target women, even though I don't see what the problem is.
You do.
but there's a backstory to that based on another podcast I did a few years ago. And I'll give you that backstory when that segment comes up. But we're up on a break. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach. No Ziggy, no Scott today.
Lame.
And we'll be back right after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. It's just Drake and Coach today.
So what's up?
Where do we want to start? How about Californians still on the move with a lot of one-way U-Haul trips? And this is... Oh, wait, this is something on Twitter, so I need to go to Twitter, talk amongst yourselves.
Well, I'm looking at this. It's funny because I have a buddy who has property in Montana.
Uh-huh.
He's got a, I don't know if it's a house. It's a kind of a cabin thing that he hunts out
right.
of, right? But I guess it's pretty substantial. And this is, it's got to be 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting a U-Haul trailer. And I guess it was a decent-sized one. But it was literally thousands of dollars.
Oof.
And
it's aren't they supposed to be cheap?
Yeah, it's a U-Haul trailer.
Yeah.
And anyway, ended up having to do it, this and that. And typically... You take it there and you leave it there,
mm-hmm.
But everybody's doing that, and that's what I think that's what this is talking about. They actually were going to pay him to bring it back.
Oh wow, okay. Well, let's hear what this story here. It's a minute long, so we'll just run the whole thing.
Sure.
But U-Haul saw their largest loss with California customers. Massive numbers of one-way customers leaving the state. California ranked last in U-Haul growth. It's the Gavin Newsom effect. Here's the story.
But the company has over 23,000 locations, and they say that does help us get a broader sense of migration trends. So take a look, because in the new report, U-Haul found that California once again ranked dead last in the country in its growth rankings. For the fifth straight year, the Golden State saw the largest net loss of one-way U-Haul customers leaving the state. Now, remember earlier this year, the governor highlighted that the previous year, the state actually saw a net increase in population growth. However, bigger picture, this trend is in line with the longer-term forecast from the state's Department of Finance, which projects that fewer people will be living in California in 2060 than lived here in 2020. And it's in line with census data that shows that since 2000, California has experienced its slowest rate of growth since its formation. So, but...
Wow.
I'm okay with that, by the way.
Yeah, but who's left?
Well,
I mean, if all the productive people are leaving, it only leaves behind the freeloaders, and that doesn't help us.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think there's, you know, I stay. It's funny because I have tons of friends that, retire and they want to go somewhere where it's, more tax friendly and all that stuff. Where their retirement dollars can stretch a little bit more and this and that, all of it. But it's California.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this before.
Yes, you can't beat the weather. I've been other places and the weather here is best.
I just don't, it's like I don't want to go deal with hurricanes and tornadoes and cold weather. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, it gets cold here, as cold as I want it to be.
Yeah.
But, didn't he turn 10?
He flipped 10 counties.
Counties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the rate things are going, California is either going to be a swing state or is going to flip red. And it is an interesting process to watch.
Sure.
Because this has been the liberal stronghold for so long. And now suddenly that is in doubt. The other aspect I don't like is that people leave here and then bring their stupid politics with them wherever they're going. You can't just say it's conservatives leaving. It's, a lot of other people that have voted for the crap that has ruined California, and they're going to go vote for the same crap somewhere else now.
But they left. they voted for us and then left.
And then left.
Good
and
for them.
Yeah, so that's...
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's one thing. What last time I was in Texas, there's this whole thing, don't California my Texas. And that's why I told my wife, if anybody asks, tell them we're from Montana.
Yeah, and it's not a lie.
That's right. Yeah, so...
Although I do understand that Austin and the Austin area is kind of that way.
Austin is basically Berkeley, yeah.
Yeah, it's
yeah, no, yeah, yeah. And you know right away who the liberals are in Texas. Just insult Austin, and if they look at you like you've kicked a baby, then, oh, okay, you're one of them.
Yeah. Still want to go to the mothership.
Yeah, where's that?
It's Rogan's.
Oh, Rogan's thing. Okay, yeah, he's in Austin. Well, we have newspapers deleting old crime stories. They want to get.
Are we finished with the U-Haul thing?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Unless you have something else to say.
I was telling you about this buddy of mine, and this was, like I said, this is like maybe 4 years ago, like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just amazed, and this is still going on. They can't get the trailers and the trucks back here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this article. They're calling it the Gavin Newsom effect.
Yeah.
I think that's,
there you go.
You know,
he's the number one U-Haul salesman.
Well, for other U-Hauls. Yeah. For other states. But I mean, you know, that also, ties right in with, Kamala and
mm-hmm.
her making a big push to trade spots with him.
Yeah.
And which is another whole frightening.
Yeah,
thing.
That's a rant for another time. And we're going to have to see. I mean, Trump takes over on the 20th, 2 weeks from now, as of this recording, and then after that, I'm sure we'll see a lot of the Democrat shuffling as everyone tries to figure out where they're going next. And then we're going to find out if Kamala is going to run for governor. I think she will. I don't know who else. I don't know what else, what other job she can get, unless she wants to go back to McDonald's.
You mean where she never worked?
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, so we'll
I remember
see.
When she didn't work there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what she does next. Just, you know, because she's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah, she really.
You
is.
Know, we should have a button for her cackle.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I will work on that.
You know what? We should have the Kamala cackle button.
We will get one. Yeah. We will have one. Yes, by next week.
Good.
So I'll take all the gear home and get that work done.
All right.
So U.S. newspapers deleting old crime stories. Civil rights advocates across the U.S. have long fought to free people from their criminal records with campaigns to expunge old cases and keep people's past arrests private while they apply for jobs and housing. So that's when you do a background check on somebody or just a Google search on somebody, you might find news articles that talk about when they were arrested for such and such. And it's one of the problems of the digital age where things like that last forever, whereas before, if it was just printed on a regular newspaper, it really didn't matter because the next day that newspaper was at the bottom of a birdcage.
Yeah, you know what, it is the age we live in.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, it's expunged is, you know, that's a legal term, so if it's actually expunged.
That might be one thing they're working on, but newspapers are stepping in here to delete those old articles. More than 70 million Americans have prior convictions or arrests, but the policies haven't addressed one of the most damaging ways run-ins with police can derail people's lives, old media coverage. So a handful of local newspapers across the U.S. in recent years have launched programs to review their archives and consider requests to remove names or delete old stories to protect the privacy of subject involved in minor crimes. So...
Yeah, I mean, this also goes to the general media, though. I mean, what's the newspaper?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all on the web now. I mean, there's still.
Do you read newspapers?
No, I haven't touched a newspaper in.
How about on the web?
On the web, barely. I mean, except for the show, I've got to go and look for
stuff
for us.
Yeah, but that's not really newspapers.
Yeah,
right?
No, I mean, yeah, it's just the website version of these newspapers, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's still physical papers that are sold, but I don't know.
Where?
Well, I see them in San Francisco at least.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
maybe
but that's,
yeah. I don't go to the city very much.
Yeah, but I don't. I really.
I try.
Well,
to
that's not true.
This.
I see them at the grocery store too. They have a stack of them right by the self checkout, and so I mean I've at least glanced at those.
I truly believe that, in fact, that's one of the things that I'm really interested in the next several years,
mm-hmm.
just because media is completely changing and people truly don't buy into it, and they shouldn't.
Right.
You know, it's narrative, and which goes back to what we were just talking about, the fact that it's all digital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be a joke when you would say, "Oh, are you getting your news from TikTok?" Well, guess what?
Well, yeah.
Now guess it's... what? Right? It's like, it's probably way more, which is, sounds insane to actually hear it come out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably way more reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. And some, yeah.
And that's a little bit frightening.
It is. Well, we are up on a break. Coming up, the four-word phrase you should never say to your kids. Just call them dumbasses like Red Foreman did. Back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Welcome back. The four-word phrase you should never say to your kids. It's from an upcoming book, Inspire, The Universal Path for Leading Yourself and Others, by a sociologist and Columbia Business School professor named Adam Galinsky. He wants to reduce the harm we often do to one another with seemingly innocuous comments. What's the phrase, Coach? What do you think it is? Of all the things you could say to your kids.
Well, I just saw it.
You just, oh, okay.
So. And I was trying to form that in my head, and I'm looking down through it, and then, it pops right out at me. And I think I was going to say something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us what the phrase is.
I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah. So apparently you should never say that to your kids.
I don't know.
I can't.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Really? Why not? Having raised three, what has been your experience with that?
Well, I mean, that was something my father would say, for sure. And what if you are?
That's
what if I expect, in a given situation, what if I expected more from you?
Mm-hmm. But now, is it a situation such as that, or one where, you know, the child has really messed up, has done something really bad,
right.
You know, whatever that is?
And I expected more from you.
Yeah, would it be appropriate then to use it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we would have to deconstruct the word disappointed.
Mm-hmm. So if your dad used it with you, did you ever use it on your kids?
Sure. I'm sure I did.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I expected them to react, to behave in a certain way that whether it would just be honor, dignity, whatever.
Right.
Right. And they didn't. Yeah. I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause ever since I read this, I started thinking back. It's like, I don't think my folks ever said anything like that to me. There were other things they said when
you never disappointed your parents.
I find that
very hard.
No. Oh, believe me, I did, a couple of times, but they never said anything like that. They found other ways to phrase it. And I don't think they found other ways to say it because they were trying to avoid a particular combination of words, but I can't say that anything they did say had any kind of negative effect. So I kind of wonder if this fellow is making too big of a deal of it. Because if your child fails to put the dishes away or something, to say then I'm disappointed, that's probably too much. But if the kid robs a liquor store or crashes your car or does some other things that would warrant such a response.
Well, let's not go there. How about you got a really intelligent kid that cheats on a test?
Ooh, that would be a good one. That would be an appropriate time. Yeah.
I mean, it's like that, you know, they could pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, I can see how that would fit.
Now, you know, I subscribe and see a prominent therapist, counselor,
mm-hmm.
who his goes to our church, and his whole thing is how the dialogue, how we talk to ourselves and how we talk to other people. Wrote a book on it called Green Language. It's not called Green Language, but it's about green and red language.
Mm-hmm.
your internal dialogue as well as the way you talk to other people, and how it kind of rewires your frontal cortex. Mm. It has to do with where your thoughts exist, mm-hmm. In your amygdala or in your frontal cortex.
Right.
And it rewires your brain, and it actually affects the way you feel and think and act specifically.
Okay, so there is something then to
yes.
what we say to other people and what we say to ourselves then. So, I mean, this fellow is not 100% wrong.
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's not. And that's why I'm kind of backing up. and I buy into it, right? Mm-hmm. However, you know, do I think that we have gotten to the point where we're coddling our kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I've been in construction my whole life, and we talk about it. You know, I'm in HVAC and sheet metal right
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
and I have been for a long, but I was a carpenter. I was an iron worker. We talk about it all the time. Workers, and not even just workers, but even entry-level workers, the raw material,
mm-hmm.
let me say, that you get, it's just different.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, we protect workers. And it's not that it's not right or unrightly so or whatever, but... You know, I've got my old company that I used to work for. They just had $1 million lawsuit because they had a disgruntled employee who went to the labor board and said, oh, they never gave me my breaks.
Ah.
And you get, for every 4 hours you work, you mm-hmm. get a 10-minute break. And for every 8 hours you work, you get a... half an hour lunch or something,
mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm.
mandated.
Right.
Now, when I was working,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, that wasn't a thing.
Right.
And it wasn't that you didn't get breaks or this or that, but, I mean, it was like, now, this company certainly gave those breaks.
Yeah.
But it wasn't documented on a time card.
Oh.
So the labor board came in. This lawsuit wasn't just this one person,
mm-hmm.
and they go back like 10 years.
Oof.
And then they call up your ex-employees, who, just by the nature of being ex-employees,
mm-hmm.
a certain percentage of them are going to be disgruntled.
Right.
And the lawsuit ended up being $1 million.
Wow. All right.
So now, of course, now they had to change their whole time card.
Mm-hmm.
Policy, this and that, you know, and they will fire you if you do not write down if you do not take your breaks,
mm-hmm.
or if you don't fill out your time card properly.
Mm.
It's just minutia.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right.
But now getting people that want to actually work, I mean, I don't know who's going to build our houses.
Yeah.
And our buildings and our roads and our...
Well, we got plenty of empty buildings in San Francisco.
Yeah, at least, yeah. Yeah.
We got a few to spare.
But I'm just saying, it's like people, you know, it's a different time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a carpenter, I remember there was a line outside the gate where
right.
a guy was going to do your job for $1 less and twice as fast.
Yeah, exactly. We had the same thing at the radio and TV station.
You put your head down and you went to work.
Right. And I know... I don't know what it's like for that field now, but I know for mine, yeah, there's nobody waiting at the door anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just all us old timers.
Yeah.
But to give the author of the book here some fair and balance, his side of the story, parents usually deploy that phrase when they want to correct behavior, but saying it can actually cause the opposite. That's because it instills kids with a sense of shame. And shame is not a productive emotion, Galinsky says. If we make our kids feel shame, that's never a good thing. Now, that I disagree with, because I think, given the right situation, shame can be good. It can certainly keep you from, you know, repeating egregious behavior.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the other things, too. I think mentally weak. I think
yeah.
we're raising a generation of mentally weak. You know, now again,
mm-hmm.
I'm a dinosaur. There's, you know, we've been talking about this lately.
Just call your kids a dumbass like Red Foreman did. That's
You should qualify who Red Foreman is.
That's right. Because yeah.
I know who he is.
Well, we're dinosaurs. Yeah, no, Red Foreman was the father on that 70s show who, when the kids on that program were always messing up, would call them a dumbass or say, I'm going to put my foot in your ass or something like that. It was always very funny. So let's...
Were you spanked?
My mother attempted to do it one time. And it was
one
so,
time.
It was so frustrating for her; she never did it again.
Oh,
because I was just like, whatever.
She wasn't doing it right.
Apparently not. No, but no, it only happened one time. And she still tells the story like it happened yesterday. I think she's still upset about it after all these years.
That it didn't faze you?
No, apparently not.
Yeah.
I mean, I was three or four. I mean, I'm too young to remember.
Yeah.
But she has quite a vivid recall on it because her father was like, because I was acting up and her father's like, control your child. So he was giving her crap. So then she tried to spank me to correct that, and that didn't work. And I think that's why it's so clear for her, because she was getting yelled at by her dad to take care of me and yada, yada, yada. You know, she still yells at me because I don't do what she wants. So
it's I have three daughters, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because you have to have an open enough mind to admit such things to yourself. So my oldest, who I raised myself till she was eight,
right?
She was spanked
mm-hmm.
quite a bit. The middle one spanked minimally.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest one almost never.
Mm-hmm.
Now is that and now again, like all children and all people's children, they're all very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that because they're very, very different, or is it because I got better?
Maybe a combination of both.
Or a combination of both.
Yeah. I mean, having seen your children, they all seem to have grown up to have their own families and their own careers.
They're
and
happy, healthy. And
they seem to be doing well.
Productive members of society mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Now, I'm not going to say that my oldest, who I was, I was a baby myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no, you never have a clue
mm-hmm.
of what you're doing. I mean, the age old thing, they don't come with a manual. They don't.
Yeah.
And I was babies making babies. And so we grew up together
mm-hmm.
and I made just a ton of mistakes with her.
Mm-hmm.
And through the grace of God, she ended up being a wonderful human being and a great mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's an age old debate, right?
Right, right.
We were spanked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were spanked. My dad was a big man. He was 6'7".
Oh, wow.
And he would spank you.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, it was, we got the belt. And it's funny. I never really felt like I had things that, I love my father. Mm-hmm. I love him to this day.
Yeah, so it's not something that turned you into a...
I don't think it damaged me.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, yeah.
And I really don't.
So, yeah, I think we're worried too much about that.
Yeah.
So, well, coming up, we are coming up on halftime, which is going to be part of our new format. So we have a couple of minutes. So let me give the backstory on what we'll do in our next segment here. So back in 2011 to 2013, also on Radio Slot, I did another show. It was Drake and the Deacon, and it was very much this type of format. But it also got a little raunchy sometimes. And one of the things we were brought on to do was...
Where's the Deacon?
The Deacon, his name was Terrence. He works on the peninsula now. I think he's still selling... I met him at our sales job, so uh-huh. I think he's selling Harley Davidsons now.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
We should have him on as a guest.
I should get in touch with him, yeah.
You should.
And
bring back the Deacon.
Yeah, because he and I haven't talked in a long time. So anyway, we were the guy show on Radio Slot, and there was another show hosted by two very young ladies, Shasta and Gianna, the Can-Do Divas. It was more of a general interest, woman-oriented show.
Uh-huh.
And every week they would do some sort of highlight of a lady that has done something in her community. They would have a prize, they would have the person on, and it was just kind of to celebrate good deeds and stuff like that. So the deacon and
so
I...
So you felt it was necessary.
To do the exact opposite. So what the deacon and I did was a segment called Women Behaving Badly. So...
Did these two podcasts,
have a battle with each other?
Yeah.
No, we didn't. It was just... They were the girl show, we were the guy show, and it all worked out for a couple of years. So... For our halftime segment this week, I'm going to bring back Women Behaving Badly, and it should be... I can't play our old theme song because it's a little vulgar, but it's...
Do you have it?
I can get it, yeah. Maybe I'll... I mean, we'll get dinged on Spotify, though, but maybe I'll play it, and we'll... Give me a minute during the break here. In fact, we're up on that right now. So back right after this with Women Behaving Badly. Frank and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Okay, I tried during the break to go and look up the old theme song, and I told Coach what it was, and he immediately nixed it.
Scott, where are you?
Yeah, because like I said, it was a little vulgar, and...
It's not a little vulgar. It's unbelievably vulgar. Yeah, no.
So, we're just going to have to get into the segment just
I cannot believe you got away with playing that on the air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the Wild West, man. We got away with a lot of things.
Yikes.
Yeah. And, we had a good time with the segment.
Never thought I would be the voice of reason and conscience on this show.
And that surprises me too.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, you're right. Scott would flip his lid, and we don't want that. But I was,
wow.
I was this close to pulling up the old theme. So this segment of Women Behaving Badly, we're going to Nebraska. A woman arrested after firing a gun near a teenager north of McCook County on Friday, according to deputies. According to court documents, the woman fired a single shot from a firearm at a residence near a 16-year-old teenager. A witness at the scene said an argument broke out between 49-year-old Kenya Wheat and a man after some pills had been spilled on the floor. The witness said Wheat then retrieved a gun while the teen picked up the pills to throw them away. And anyway, she started blasting. So,
what kind of a gun was that?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It was probably a Glock or...
Yikes.
Some other nine. So Kenya Wheat of McCook, Nebraska, you are the recipient of this week's Woman Behaving Badly Award.
Yikes. Yikes. This segment Mother of the Year.
This segment would go so much better if we had the theme song.
No, it would not. It would not go better. It would go so much worse.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you can still hear the old show on Radio Slot. They still rerun it. So
really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, and if you can't find it, I've got the old archives. Maybe I can put together a Woman Behaving Badly medley or something like that. That would be fun.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Bring it back.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so... that's our halftime. When Scott is back, maybe we'll have him do some sort of halftime report, and or maybe if you've got any ideas, we can throw that in. Yeah. So this new format is kind of in its embryonic stage, but we'll figure out what we're doing. But back after this for hour number two. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Welcome back to our second hour. More of the same. And right now we're going to start this segment off talking about insurance companies, how they're parasites, and more CEOs need to be shot. Do I have it right?
Wow. Oh, damn.
Did I get it right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's funny because we were just talking about the fact that my company just changed medical insurance to
United
Healthcare.
Yeah.
Which is the guy that got murdered.
Right. Yes, everyone should live their lives in such a way that half the country doesn't cheer when you get shot in the back.
Well, it is it's frightening, right? Because this guy has got women writing him love letters, and
he's
become kind of a hero.
He has, because how many people have lost loved ones or have faced ruin because insurance companies have pulled their crap.
He was a victim of it himself, and they did a bunch of they're looking at his medical records and this and that. And they're saying he must have been in just a ton of pain and all this stuff. And now, of course, this kid is, came from privilege, went to prep schools, was valedictorian, pretty squared away kid. When we were talking about that before, I was just listening to a podcast the other day, a Tucker Carlson podcast, where he had this, the guy who is the CEO of Ways to Well, I think is the name of the company. But really exposing just the insurance, just the system, right? And how it's really set up to keep us sick.
Right.
That's where they don't make money when we get better. They make money with keeping us sick.
Exactly.
In the wake of killing...
Well, hang on. The headline here is important. U.S. lawmakers eye health insurance reform as frustrations mount. And these reforms focus more on doctors being upset about prior authorization. Prior authorization requires medical providers to get an insurer's approval before patients receive health care or medications. Dr. Gabriel Boslett of the Indiana University School of Medicine, he says, as a physician, prior authorization is the number one frustrating thing of practicing outpatient medicine right now. I spend more time trying to figure out how I need to get this medication approved than I do seeing the patient and making a diagnosis and writing the prescription. Originally intended to control the costs of certain medications and treatments, the frequency of prior authorization requirements has risen in recent years, and they now plague common and inexpensive care. So, the government is trying to adjust things.
Well, this guy is talking about PBM. Which is the pharmacy benefit manager.
Yeah, that's not mentioned here.
Which I find amazing because it's the main reason why things are so expensive. Again, shout out to Tucker, and I think everybody should listen to that podcast. It's very eye-opening.
Yeah, a federal bill that would expedite authorizations like these for Medicare Advantage plans was introduced this year in Congress. In January, or this month, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services finalized a new rule to streamline prior authorizations as a way to cut costs. 24% of doctors say that prior authorization has led to a serious adverse event for a patient in their care, according to a survey from the American Medical Association. So,
Brigham Buehler. Buehler is the guy.
Oh, okay. So that's the one that Tucker talked to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is a healthcare entrepreneur transforming America's broken system, founder of Ways to Well. He's optimistic about RFKJ and they're talking about doing away with this middleman.
Right.
PBM. That just skims off the top. But he's really, it's about preventative care.
Right.
Which we don't do.
Right. Yeah, we jump in when the problem begins and put it and just treat the symptoms.
Well, most times the problem begins decades earlier, right?
In some cases, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most cases.
Okay.
The cancer you get today started 10 years ago.
That's true.
You know, lifestyle changes, all that stuff.
Yeah, but, right on.
You know, modern healthcare doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's... So, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's do something. Let's do a story that's a little fun, a little more fun.
Okay.
A little lighthearted. Russia fines partygoers for looking too gay. Two detainees fined 50,000 rubles, the equivalent of 350 British pounds, for, quote, trying to arouse interest in non-traditional sexual relations. Let's see. This happened... Oh, this story's a year... No. Yeah, this story's a year old. I'm sorry, no, the story was written the 1st of January. The case goes back to last February. So this has been tied up in court for quite some time. Russia fined at least 7 people for, quote, looking too gay after a police raid on a nightclub in Tula last February. An analysis of court records by an independent Russian media outlet showed. At least 8 people were detained during the operation, which videos show was carried out by men in military-style uniforms and helmets. Because when you're going after the gays, you need to bring out the Kalashnikovs. Police charged the detainees with trying to arouse interest in non-traditional sexual relations, which has been a crime in Russia for a decade, although it's usually directed at those publishing pro-LGBT material, not for those wearing, quote, unmanly clothing. It comes as the Kremlin ramps up to push and promote traditional values that have included tightening anti-LGBT legislation and banning propaganda promoting a child-free lifestyle. So let's...
promoting a child-free lifestyle.
Yeah, they want everyone to start having kids because the birth rates are so low now.
Really?
Yeah. So what were they wearing? Well, one man had crosses of black tape glued to his nipples and a woman's style corset on his, quote, naked body. Another had pink socks and an unbuttoned kimono over his shoulders, his hair dyed bright orange and red tattoos on his face. You know, people dressed like this in San Francisco wouldn't get a second look.
Yeah, no. Yikes. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
go Putin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One person at the party, a bartender, avoided a fine by arguing that he was a goth. And that was why he had eyebrow piercings, turquoise hair, and wore a black t-shirt rolled up to his chest.
Okay.
So, yeah, that... Oh, conservative Russia, huh?
Yes.
There's a lot of people in the U.S. who would like to do that sort of thing. I'm not entirely sure I agree, but...
With what?
With imposing those kinds of fines and restrictions.
Yeah, I don't...
Like I said, in San Francisco, that's just another Tuesday.
Yeah.
In Russia, that's apparently a big deal. Let's go to Seattle. Seattle's new minimum wage among the highest in big cities, and businesses are closing... they're facing a similar thing that happened here in California, although the fallout here in California has kind of settled down a little bit.
Has it, though?
You don't hear a lot of stories about businesses closing because of the wage anymore.
Well, I think the people that it affected, and they went out of business.
And everyone else adjusted.
They did different things.
I'm just assuming, yeah.
Well, and then I was also hearing that a lot of places are going to automate.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the McDonald's near here has done that.
So they're just going to do away with those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So now those jobs don't exist.
Well, what's happening in Seattle? The Bebop Waffle Shop, a beloved cafe in West Seattle, closed its doors just days after Seattle's new minimum wage of $20.76 per hour took effect. Bebop, one of several businesses in Seattle facing closure or financial strain as the city implements one of the nation's highest wage laws. The new policy eliminates tiered wages and tip credits, creating uniform pay requirements for all employees. So basically that means these businesses can't say that tips contribute to your hourly pay. And
well, I was just wondering too if they do relieve the tax on tips, how that's going to affect all this.
Oh, yeah.
Which Trump has promised to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the other thing too. I he's got a lot of promises that he made for.
Oh yeah.
Day 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I'm hoping he didn't bite off more than he could chew.
We'll give him some time.
No, we're not.
You don't want to
no.
You want things when he said day one. You want day one.
He's the president.
Yeah.
If you said it,
okay. See, I hear that.
If you said it,
yeah, I see, but I hear that, and I think, okay, this is what we'll have this done within 6 months. You know, okay.
I mean, he made some big promises.
He has. Yes,
the war was going to be, in fact, he said both the wars,
right,
the two big ones, Ukraine and
Israel,
yeah, will be done and over before he takes the oath.
Mm-hmm.
He said that.
Yeah, he did.
For tipped employees, the unit, you know, not that. Yeah, I really wonder what that's going to do to tips. But I mean, again, to mandate that, it's like, yeah, especially if you're a small business.
Mm-hmm. This article polled people and got their remarks. Isaac Selinger, a grant writer on LinkedIn, he says, seems a city can't have both huge minimum wage increases and the kind of quirky restaurants that make living in the city worthwhile. Well, yeah. Seattle has decided to commit municipal suicide.
Well, we've been seeing that.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, it's funny how everything kind of ties back into everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about the health care, and we're talking about insurance, and we're talking about the health of Americans and America in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, we talked about this before, but we'll state it again. RFKJ, on one of the podcasts that he was on recently, in the world and the United States, there are additives that you can add to food.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, the number is 10,000. In the rest of the world, it's about 400.
Yeah.
And so now those, whatever you want to call them, what did you just call little places, little eateries,
quirky,
whatever.
What did he say? Quirky restaurants.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Because they can't stay in business. So that means who's moving in there? McDonald's.
And all the stuff that has all the bad things in it.
Poison.
Yeah.
So we're just going to, I mean, you drive down the street here. It's mm-hmm. like to get a decent meal that's good for you, it's almost not possible.
Yeah, it is tough. Innovations like self-service kiosks and digital menus are already becoming standard. Hybrid restaurant models that will combine fine dining with fast casual experiences. So there you go.
Well, there's a new chicken place down here, Starbirds.
Okay.
You go in. It's got
tap on the screen.
It's got four big screens. You put your order in, and yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And again, it's just
so in the future, if who are you going to yell at if the order comes out wrong? They're just going to say, well, that's what you typed in.
It's true.
If there's anyone there to talk to at all,
yeah,
you'll have to email customer service or something.
It's heading in a bad direction.
Yeah,
still continuing to head in a bad direction.
Mm-hmm. We are up on a break. Back with more after this. Greg and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. No Ziggy, no Scott today.
Lame.
Priorities, you know.
Yeah.
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 I think you made the same point last week.
I did.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Let's see. I did hear from Ziggy. Okay. Well, apparently his wife isn't feeling well, so we'll give Ziggy an excuse. Scott, on the other hand.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, New Year's Day, we had a couple of problems with either, depending on who you talk to in the FBI, they were either terrorist incidents or not. But one fellow blew up a Cybertruck.
Hold on a second.
What?
Do you believe that, really?
No, I don't believe it. They were absolutely terrorist attacks. Okay, and I can't, and having the DEI hire at the FBI with the nose ring coming out and say, no, these weren't terrorists. It's like, shut up, honey.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
It's ridiculous. It was New Year's Day, and it was just, you can look up the video, and it's just, yeah, that's who's in charge of our investigations now.
No. For a very short time.
Well, for a very short period of time. That's right.
Because who's the...
Cash Patel is his name. When he comes in, all that stuff changes. And, and Daddy, as of this recording, Daddy will be home in 2 weeks.
Well, no, that's... So. You know what? Seriously, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know? Where's Dad?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Dad? Yeah. Where's Dad in the room?
Almost 2 years now on this show.
It's like...
2 years in May.
Yeah. And you know, it's... I also listened to Kellyanne Conway,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, again, her and Tucker kind of rubbed me kind of like Trump did. You know, they're pretty over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to, and I listen to both their podcasts now, and, you know, again, Kellyanne, she's a little over the top,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah, she's been talking about all this stuff, and, again, I like the fact that they have... I mean, she had, she has people from both sides, mm-hmm. right? She does what Rogan does. So does Tucker. And it's open conversation. And that's, I think that's the thing that is going to help us. But, you know, this, they were both in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. the guy in
New Orleans,
in New Orleans,
Las Vegas.
And he had a, what flag?
An ISIS flag that they quickly covered up so the press wouldn't get the video of it.
Why would they do that?
Because we can't have anybody saying that ISIS is here.
Well, I mean, ISIS is here.
Because it wasn't a terrorist attack. It was just a lone wolf that was upset about parking tickets or something.
Yeah. The other guy was...
The lady with the nose ring said so.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you got to believe that. They were both at Fort Hood, I guess.
Yeah.
The guy in Vegas... And, of course, this bears repeating because he was in a Cybertruck.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I want your take on it, because he blew up a Cybertruck. Doesn't that make
No, but it's like, how stupid is it? And he is an active duty Green Beret.
Right.
Still.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff here. So when we have your SF guy on, who's the conspiracy expert, I definitely want him to weigh in on this.
Sure. But he uses a Cybertruck mm-hmm. filled with explosives, and then I guess... He did himself with a Desert Eagle.
Allegedly, yeah. But they were saying that he picked the wrong vehicle to blow up.
Because, of course he
because
did.
Because the construction of the Cybertruck was such...
It went straight up.
...that it contained the explosion, yeah.
It didn't even blow out the doors.
Yeah.
It's like, and it was parked right in front of the front doors.
Yeah.
So, dummy.
But didn't that make you feel pain to watch a Cybertruck
explode? No. Oh, okay. I felt like a freaking superhero.
Oh, okay.
Cybertruck saved the day.
Yeah, okay.
Come on. And the fact that this guy's just too stupid. I mean, that's the other thing. They both rented these off of like Turo.
Yeah.
Right? That
vehicle rental website. Yeah.
That's for personal vehicles, right?
Yes. Yeah. You can, if you own an exotic car, you can rent it out. Yeah.
Although I think you have to put that on your insurance.
I guess you do. I don't know. Oh, you need to get that?
No,
oh,
I don't.
Okay.
Yikes. I thought I had my volume down. Yeah, that's craziness, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yikes.
Now, one of the conspiracy theories that's going around is that the Vegas guy used the Cybertruck because he knew it wouldn't do any damage, and he wants everyone to look at his manifesto, which is a big warning about the drones in New Jersey or something or other. And
oh, China, yeah, the China drones.
Yeah, which, yeah, so it maybe he picked it for that reason.
I
don't know.
I saw the other day, finally, Trump weighed in on that.
Uh-huh.
Just very matter-of-factly, it was pretty cool, just like a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, yeah, it's ridiculous. I think the government knows something, mm-hmm. and I think it's crazy that they're not
being more truthful. Yeah.
And he goes, trust the fact that shortly they will be.
That's right.
and he said it right out loud. So I mean, again, these are the things that I'm going to hold his feet to the fire. Mm-hmm. Right? He said it, and I expect.
Yeah.
It.
No, I'm coming around. So
my buddy, the Spec Ops guy, mm-hmm. his big thing is he wants the January 6th people released.
Right.
Immediately.
Yes.
I agree. Trump said he was.
Yeah. In fact, there was a story about that this morning. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
And my buddy is like, if he doesn't do that, like day one, day two, I'm getting off the bandwagon.
See, I can't find it. Anyway, it was something that the families of the January 6th prisoners are kind of anxious as to what Trump is going to do, even though he has made his various statements. And I'm very eager to see what he does there too. But hopefully he does release them all or pardon them or whatever the process is. Now speaking of January 6th, hang on.
Okay.
I have another audio clip.
Okay.
Because of a Democrat being stupid.
We love those.
Yes, so January,
and there's so many.
That's right. So it's January 6th that there was an insurrection. Well, now we have
an unarmed
yes
insurrection.
So we have
you know what I've heard that described as what it really was?
What was that?
It was a stroll through the Capitol building.
Well,
that was semi
Escorted. Yeah. Well, here we have a Democrat calling into C-SPAN, calling for an insurrection against the insurrectionist. Let's try and make this make sense. Here we go.
Sorry, I cannot support an insurrectionist. I just can't. And I would really love to see Democrats and independents do an insurrection on Donald Trump.
He sounded like he was free of teeth.
Yeah, kind of.
He did, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. And,
yeah.
But and he used the word. That's what gets me.
Yeah, twice.
It's like, I can't support an insurrectionist, but I want an insurrection against this man. You know, it's like, wait, make up your mind.
So, I going back to Kellyanne, I was listening last night to, she was doing a best of kind of end of the year show, mm-hmm. and Bill Maher.
Right.
Who is a staunch liberal Dem.
Yeah.
And they were and it was a really interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. And you remember Saturday Night Live, Dan Aykroyd and whatever her name was, they would do the news and he would call her a stupid bitch or whatever. You remember? Jane, you ignorant
slut. Yeah, that's what it was.
So Bill Maher is kind of saying that kind of stuff to Kellyanne. Straight up. It's like, it was so funny.
And did she get the joke? Or was he serious?
No, he was serious.
Oh, okay.
So they're going back and forth about, how could you possibly vote for Trump?
Yeah.
And his whole point of view was, his big reason for not voting for Trump and for people not voting for Trump was the election denying.
Right.
That was his whole platform. I'm talking about Bill Maher.
Yeah.
How could you can't vote for this is what our country was built on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and she's given that to him. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to go into the details of that one way or another. I get it. But we're talking about real issues, you know, mm-hmm. the border being open. And this, he goes, I don't care about any of that. Really?
Yeah.
It's like, so just this is, I'm voting for Kamala because I won't vote for Trump, mm-hmm. regardless of what damage she's going to do.
Right.
And that's the Democratic way, and that's the thing that scared me the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
So I'm going to vote for any, it doesn't matter what other, it could be Donald Duck.
Right. I think,
yeah. And that's frightening.
Yes, it is. So here's the clip, because everybody listening, I think, is probably too young to ever have heard this before.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
But I mean, that he was just like, "Are you kidding me?" And he was saying stuff like that,
yeah.
You know, just like it was. It's another really interesting.
All right.
Something you should listen to.
Okay.
And she's like coming back at him with all these actual, you know, open borders.
She's coming back with facts, yeah.
And you know that was awful. Yeah, that was awful, and this and that, but. And he just kept going back to election denying.
Jeez.
And for that reason and that reason alone, he voted for Kamala.
That's insane.
It's just, that's
yeah. But, well, frightening. But what do you expect?
Yeah.
I mean, it's we're up on a break. After this, the NYPD has removed security robots from subways. We'll explain why. Coming back right after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. No Scott, no Ziggy today. It's just Drake and Coach. We should change the name when they're not here. It's the Drake and Coach Show.
Yeah,
on
baby.
Radioslot.com.
Let's go.
So the NYPD, they put a security robot in the Times Square subway. And, well, they now say it's completed its test run. The fully autonomous outdoor security robot called K5 was introduced to New Yorkers at an April 2023 news conference announcing the, quote, deployment of innovative policing technologies. Months later, K5 was deployed at another news conference, this one featuring New York City Mayor Eric Adams making a hands heart with it. But as the robot has no hands, it could not show any love back to the mayor. So the short version is they took the robot away because it really did nothing to contribute to safety, and it was creepy, and it wouldn't take bribes or sneak away for sex in the bathroom. And judging by some of the recent horrible incidents on the subway where one woman being set on fire and another fellow being shoved in front of a train, I would say that,
was that recent?
It was, yeah.
The
fellow shoved in front of the train, last I saw, was still in critical condition, and the woman set on fire.
Well, come on, that's died. The fact that he...
Yeah. So, I mean, the New York subway is...
I'm looking at this thing, and it says NYPD right on it.
Yeah.
What does it do? It's a security robot. It's just a video?
It's a... roving camera. They have
that's
one
all
of,
it is.
That is. Yeah, they have one of these in San Francisco too, and it, all it does is.
Dude, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's right. People say this contributes nothing to safety. Everything's on camera, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, put a damn camera in the little corner up on the ceiling.
Well, no, they have cameras everywhere, and the robot roams around recording things too. But that's all it does. It can record the crime that happens, and then you have some evidence, but it's not preventing anything. I mean, like I said, San Francisco has one of these too, and it's the same story where everybody just wants to kick the robot and try and knock it over, and it really is more of a laughingstock than anything else. I took a picture of our robot one time.
Our robot?
Well, our San Francisco robot. I was out getting lunch the other day.
There's a San Francisco one.
Yeah.
Of these.
Yeah. Yeah,
roams
around, what is on the other side of Townsend Street? The street parallel to Townsend, I forget where, near Giant Stadium. Not the Giant Stadium, Oracle Park. It's in that area. So I was going to some place for lunch.
Isn't
one
that
day.
The Giant Stadium?
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, Oracle Park, but they don't call it Giant Stadium.
I don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, it's where the Giants play play a foosball.
Yeah, the Giant Stadium.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so it's near there, and so I was going to a hamburger place, and there's this rolling cone. It's a giant cone shaped thing. And I kind of stood in front of it, and it stopped, and I'm looking at it, you know, and it's like it's just a rolling video camera, and that's supposed to be something that makes us comfortable and safe. And I'm like, this is just going to record you getting murdered or raped. It's not going to stop anything.
So, were you here when they had the? They were like a cooler with wheels, the grocery delivery robots.
No,
you weren't.
I know, I wasn't.
This was just year and 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Lucky's, and yeah, there it's like a cooler.
I didn't hear about that at all.
About this big, yeah. By this big, you know, So 3 feet by 24 inches, wheels, had a little flag. You didn't see these.
No, I didn't.
Had headlights and taillights and would leave Lucky's, cross streets, come to your front door, beep your phone, say, I'm here.
Oh, wow.
You didn't see
this. I didn't see this at all.
You go out, it senses your phone is there. It was an app. And I actually have a video of it. And the lid pops open, you grab your groceries, you go inside, and it drives off.
Wow. And did anybody try to mess with these robots?
I'm driving home one day after soccer practice, and you see these things, and they're driving all over the... And it's dark, and they have lights, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking the aliens have landed. I'm like, I'm serious. I'm just like, what is this? The next day, I'm driving out, and you see them all in front of Lucky's. And I go to talk, oh, yeah, it's our new thing, blah, blah, blah. And so I actually still have the app on my phone.
Oh, wow.
And used it a couple times, you know. And actually, the first time I used it, I went to the store, and I followed, because I only live a couple blocks, and I took a video, followed it home, and I'm watching it go through. It's got to climb sidewalks and, you know, negotiate. And then on garbage day, it's got to get around a garbage can. It's pretty interesting. Then I started watching. So kids get out of school.
Yeah.
And they would just stand in front of it, try and get the top open, this and that. All of a sudden, it lasted, I don't know, 3-4 months.
Right.
And they were just gone.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah, it's. I mean, because you can't have them on the street because stuff like that's going to happen. You can't have a flying drone because everyone's going to shoot them down. So no, this whole robot thing is not, I don't think, going to take off very well.
And we have this thing about women prefer driverless taxis.
Oh my goodness, yeah, so that's a story.
This all ties in,
yeah,
because I've got buddies. So of course the Cybertruck has full self driving, right? Now, it doesn't have ass yet.
Okay, now I'm thinking it had... When I hear that, I think of something completely different.
You know what ass is?
No, I don't.
Actual smart summon.
Okay.
So that's where you and your girl are at a restaurant, you parked in the back 40, and you can call your car to come pick you up.
Oh, wow.
Now, I was never a huge fan of ass. Because I don't really want my Cybertruck driving around a busy parking lot without me.
Yeah.
I think bad things could happen, right? And all the other Teslas have ass. But the Cybertruck has the full self FSD, full self driving, but we still have yet to have ass. In fact, there's so many forums that are talking about when are we going to get the ass? And like I said, everybody else, all the other Teslas have it. But anyway, so we're going to this article about.
And you're welcome. I'm filtering every joke going through my head right now.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, Teslas. It's the S.
Yeah.
The 3,
right,
the X, and the Y,
right,
which spells.
Wait, give me those letters again.
S3XY.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he does stuff like this.
Okay.
As a matter of design.
Okay.
So you have summon, you have smart summon, and then you have this new ass, which is actual smart summon. It's a thing.
Jeez.
I'm not making this up, buddy.
I understand.
But so now we have this other article here we're reading about women prefer driverless taxis. This wouldn't be a problem if they weren't so cringe and could actually find a boyfriend to take them places.
Yeah, that was my note.
Wow. So this is you go to the city all the time. This is a huge thing in the city.
Yes.
And they are all, it's Waymo.
Yes.
And
yeah,
they're the white all Jags.
Yeah. Yeah. White Jags with all kinds of sensors on them. And it
actually says your name.
Yeah. watching them drive around is quite entertaining because they seem to work. I mean, I was skeptical, but I've been watching these things.
They don't work.
Yeah.
You haven't seen what they do?
Well, no, I've seen them, like, actually use a turn signal, which is impressive. No.
Well, they actually drive pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I got buddies that go and they, you know, whatever, you know, New Year's or Halloween, or they go to party in the city, go bar hopping, and they don't want to drive.
Right.
That's what they do.
Right.
But now they get these roving groups of young people that just all you got to do is stand in front of it.
Really? And it stops.
It stops. And then they take out spray paint and they just wreck these things.
Ah.
There's videos
of it. Cover up the sensors and the thing, it can't sense it.
It's like, and there's people trapped inside.
Yeah.
With, you know, a group of thugs outside.
Yeah, so women are saying they like the driverless taxis because it's safer, but this doesn't sound like...
Does it? So we were just talking about this, the robot on the subway and these, you know, the drones and... Yeah, I don't know. Some women say,
yeah, they say they've stopped using Uber and Lyft and started using driverless competitor Waymo, at least in part because they don't have to share physical space with an unfamiliar man behind the wheel. In the autonomous taxis, software drives the car with no other human present.
I mean, again, we've talked about this. I have full self-driving.
Yeah,
it's a learning AI algorithm. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it's getting better and better. It works pretty well.
Yeah.
But, well, for instance, if I drive from here to Sacramento and back and use it, it'll screw up twice.
Oh, wow.
Each way.
Okay.
It's beta. It's
so
not,
you've got to be ready to take over then.
It doesn't like yellow lights. No,
who does?
But it's not, it's not, hasn't learned yet. Should I stay or should I go?
Oh, okay.
Right, and when it kind of locks up and freaks out, it just stops.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll have a turn lane where there's an actual lane in front of it, but it's in a turn lane. Mm-hmm. There's one right on Hopyard.
Right.
When you turn onto Stone Ridge.
Right.
It'll go straight every time.
Oh, wow. So, okay. So, once again, women are making odd choices that make no sense.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Is that women behaving badly?
Oh, that's women behaving strangely.
Yeah.
Okay. We're up on a break. Back after this. Craig and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. How you digging this two-hour format, Coach?
You know, if we had that clock that we keep promising...
You want the clock.
It would be a lot smoother.
I will get the clock. I mean, I have my stopwatch, and I give you
warning. Where's your stopwatch?
It's right here.
That's why
I give you the two-minute warning.
Oh, well, you could just put that on a little stand right up here.
I could do that. No, now that you mention it, there's a couple of books in the center of the table that would be a perfect stand.
There you go. Put it right there.
That's
yeah.
Right.
easy peasy.
Let's go back to San Francisco. This is a story from the archive, something that we meant to get to months ago and never did. San Francisco's mayor proposes cutting costly fees for businesses opening in former industrial sites. I don't even know. Is London Breed still the mayor of San Francisco? Or did she get booted out?
I'm not sure.
Because like I said, this story is,
a little old.
Yeah, okay. Glide Memorial bids farewell to SF Mayor Breed. So, she's out. So, anyway, one of her last ideas was pushing to remove the big fees for businesses opening in former industrial sites in San Francisco. It's expensive. You know, they've got a lot of empty buildings there. If you go to where my office is down on Townsend Street, most of the restaurants are still closed. A lot of the office buildings are empty. Because everybody's working at home now, and all the restaurants had to close because of it. All this, it's all COVID related. So she was trying to get businesses to come back by waiving those fees.
Remember the party zone thing? What happened to that?
And the party zone, that's right.
Did that get built?
They had the one. They had the one, and I think they wanted to do more. And I haven't heard much about that since. But, yeah, you got to have a specific roped-off party zones in San Francisco to, not get mugged and raped. So they wanted to waive those fees for businesses to come back. I don't think between the time of that article and now, a lot of businesses took advantage of that. Because I think they figured out what I figured out, was that eventually San Francisco would find a way to get that money out of them, because of the city's budget shortfalls, et cetera.
So sad.
Yeah,
it is. The city used to be the coolest, place.
Yeah. Even with all the craziness.
Yes.
It used to be
food and, the bar scene and the music scene. It was just, it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even as someone as big a right wing wacko as me, enjoyed it. It was not a bad place to go. And when I started working there, it was even better because I had, I had to go a lot of places on foot and you really got to see everything up close, and it wasn't a terrible place to be.
It was.
Now, that was before the poop map, though. It's like everything changed in
San Francisco.
The poop map, yeah. Where you could log on to a website and note where homeless people had crapped on the sidewalk. So it seems
that was really a thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a web app, and yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like everything after the poop map, San Francisco has just gone downhill ever since. And, prior to that.
But I mean,
it was a much better place.
It's funny. You start wondering about what's the road back.
I don't think there is one.
I mean, does it become Detroit? Does it?
Yeah.
It's like.
Even the Salesforce Tower is empty. I mean, there are huge buildings in San Francisco that have nobody in them, and the landlords are still having to pay rent and their property taxes. And
well, that's and again, at some point, the money runs out.
Yeah.
And then there won't be a homeless problem.
Well, that's true. That is that is one thing that I've noticed on Townsend.
Talk about
that,
a sanctuary city. That'll just be Snake Plissken and
exactly.
Escape from New York.
That's one thing I noticed around Townsend, that without all of the office workers and the restaurant customers, the homeless went somewhere else. There are very few homeless people on our block now.
Well, they got nobody to hit up.
Exactly. So they got to go where the people are. And
hey. Yeah. Yikes. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know. And again, it is. I mean, there was some rich, rich history there.
Yes.
Establishments that were hundreds of years old.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad. I can't remember last time I went to the city other than for work.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I go there now. I'm not going back for fun or anything like that. Yeah. Nuts to that.
I mean, there's a shout out to Hog Island Oyster.
Mm.
Do you like, you don't like oysters?
I've never tried oysters, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You are such a cretin.
I know.
There's a place that's right at the ferry building, which I still go to now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I actually bring customers there every now and then, but and I don't have to go very far deep into the city, but yeah, it's crazy. It's too bad.
Yep.
Shout out to the city.
Yeah. Red's Java House was one of my favorites.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Right on the Embarcadero. I think it's still there. Although the guy in charge was older than dirt 20 years ago.
I mean, what is like Pier 39? Is that still happening?
No. Pier 39 has turned into just one big homeless camp from what I understand.
Yeah.
Because I used to go to Pier. I mean, even though it was a tourist trap, I used to go, when I worked swing shift, I would, or split shift, I'm sorry, I would have my shift in the morning and then in the afternoon, and I would have like 5 hours off in between.
Oh, yikes.
So I would go to Pier 39 and hang out there and had a great time.
Yeah.
And then I'd walk back to where it was. Yeah, I could walk to and from. So I'd get off my morning shift at 9, go to hang out at Pier 39, go back to my afternoon shift starting at 3, and had a great time.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, but, you know. Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Oh, it was a couple years. Yeah. And then I moved into another spot and started flying in the airplanes, and then they moved me to mid-afternoon where I was just in the office the whole time. And
Like traffic airplanes?
Yeah. Yeah, we fly in the airplanes, fly over the freeways, and talk about traffic conditions and look at the accidents. And everyone always says that I fly the helicopters. No, we didn't have helicopters. We had regular airplanes. And we were, you know.
Cool. Good for you.
It was. It was interesting.
And you didn't die.
No.
Yeah.
No, my dad's a pilot. I've been flying my whole life. So, yeah. And I didn't fly the plane. There was a pilot to fly the plane.
I get it.
Yeah.
But you still didn't die.
No.
Yeah.
No, there was a couple of near crashes, but yeah. Nobody died.
Yeah. Gotta like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
God is good.
It was, yeah, indeed. I think sometimes we'd fly over crashes and, you know, you could obviously tell somebody wasn't walking away from that. Yeah. And there was we had a problem reported at one of the, it was the, what are the bridges between Alameda and Oakland?
Oh, I don't know the bridges.
My
grandfather built the tube, though.
Yeah.
The Posey tube.
Right. But there's
two.
So you have the Webster and the Posey tube, and then that's at one end, and then at the other end you have a bridge that can also go between Oakland and Alameda. I completely have gone blank on the name of that bridge.
It's only about, I don't know, 3 feet long.
It's not long. But anyway, so we had police activity there and said, can you fly over and check it out? And I said, yeah, and I got my binoculars out. And the cops were there because somebody had jumped off the bridge with a noose around his neck, and he was literally dangling over the water.
Oh, yikes.
And so they said, well, okay, we'll hang out there for a minute. So we're circling overhead as the emergency crews are doing their thing. They get a Coast Guard boat to come up the river.
A little estuary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, to get the body down, they didn't pull him up. They just cut the rope and let him fall onto the Coast Guard ship.
Oh, jeez.
So, so if you... you know, if you ever hang yourself off a bridge,
you're
gonna
a film crew and everything.
No, we didn't. Oh, yeah. I was just watching it, and I'm like, guys.
So you're just commentating.
Well, I was reporting that the bridge was closed, and then telling the that was on the air, off the air on the two way radio. I'm telling the office guys, they just cut the body loose, and there's nothing, you know. And they're like, okay, we'll move on to something else, and
yeah, quickly.
Yeah, but it was that was a very, I guess the word is surreal. That was very odd to watch.
Sure.
So just. Yeah, just cut the body off. Let it fall into the boat. He's dead. What do you care? What does he care? Anyway.
Ouch.
Well, we have another story here where girls are losing ground to boys in education, so that the worm is turning here, because it used to be, you know, for the last 15, 20 years, it was the other way around. Girls have lost ground in reading, math, and science at a troubling rate, according to a Wall Street Journal analysis of students' test scores across the country. Since 2019, girls' test scores have dropped sharply, often to the lowest point in decades. Boys' scores have also fallen during that time, but the decline among girls has been more severe. Boys now consistently outperform girls in math after being roughly even or slightly ahead in the years before 2020. Girls still tend to perform better in reading, but their scores have dropped closer to boys. What is happening?
The findings suggested that, I was just going to say this. Pandemic learning loss hit girls particularly hard. But, you know, they're talking about, especially children that are in their formative stages, mm-hmm. not being able to see people's lips move.
Right.
And learning to speak,
right?
That whole, you know, from whatever age to whatever age, you know, 1 to 3 years old, whatever, mm-hmm. 1 to 4 years old, will never recover from it,
mm-hmm.
ever,
right?
For the rest of their life, that's insanity.
Yeah, teachers, parents, and education researchers aren't sure what is driving the gender gap learning loss. But some suspect the rise in behavior problems during the pandemic years prompted teachers to pay more attention to boys who tend to act out more in class. Anyway, right. So we're entering the with the post-pandemic phase here. We're going to find now we're going to learn all of the consequences of locking things down, and like you said with what you just said with younger kids not seeing lips move. So now we're going to have to find ways to correct those problems if they are correctable.
Well, again, I think what I was listening to was suggested that it's not. Mm-hmm. Those when those years go by, they're gone.
Yeah.
And that's terribly unfortunate.
Yeah, and history may show that the lockdown for something that was quite survivable probably wasn't a good idea. Yeah. But we had to get rid of the Orange Man. That's all the lockdown was about.
The Orange Man.
The bad Orange Man.
Well, you know, I look forward to 2 weeks from now and
yes
and beyond.
That's right.
I'm
Daddy's on his way home.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Well, we are up on a break. Coming up, we'll figure out some sort of post-game wrap-up. We definitely have Coach's Corner and Brian Drake's words of encouragement.
Sure.
Back after this.
And now, folks, from beautiful downtown San Francisco, where it smells of Ode to Poo-Poo, we present the Drake and Scott Podcast.
I thought that fit.
I think it fits. The new fragrance.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, it's the...
Brought to you by San Francisco.
It's the Drake and Coach Podcast today, because Scott's not here, and Ziggy's not here, and maybe they'll be back next week, and... maybe they won't. But this is the end of our, or the last segment of our two-hour inaugural. So other than wanting a clock in the center of the table, what do you think? Has it been a good experience?
Oh, yeah. There? No, you know, yeah, and again, okay. It depends on the week, right? And I think with the other format, we were always left with, we really wanted to talk about
we were just
that.
Getting warmed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff we would tease and sure. then miss because yeah. we ran out of time.
Yeah, and I think especially with when we have guest speakers, I think mm-hmm. it's going to be...
We'll have even, yeah, it'll yeah, have even it'll more. Be, it'll especially come in handy
yeah,
then.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
So.
Yep. And I thought it worked great. So
all right.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right. Well, now we have our weekly edition of Brian Drake's Encouraging Words. Remember... the stray dog you take a moment to feed will show you more gratitude than any one person you try and help. So choose wisely. Go in Christ.
What are we choosing, the dog we're feeding or the person?
No, we're choosing who we help, knowing oh. that, you know, we you know, we might make a sacrifice for something.
I don't disagree with that, by the way.
Yeah, see, okay. Finally, one that you don't yeah. disagree with.
As much as I hate to say that. I'm a dog guy, right?
All right. What is our Coach's Corner today?
So today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Steve Jobs. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, I'll be good to each other.
Well, thank you for listening this week. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com, and hopefully we'll have everybody back next week so we can have a proper
my goodness
proper show.
Yeah.
And no more being lame. Or, of course, like I said, Ziggy's wife wasn't feeling good last night, so I got to check in on that. But, yeah, I guess that's it.
All right.
Any final thoughts?
No.
All right, because we kind of have... we're going to end short, so, and I don't know how to extend the party. So,
well, you know what? I think the main thing about today is we're looking forward to this year with optimism and hope.
Yes,
and I think it's very, very clear that this is the way of the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of stood up and said with one voice, "Enough is enough."
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, we're gonna tick back towards.
It would be nice.
Lack of insanity.
Yeah, which yeah, we, less you know, insanity. Yeah.
We this has been the upside down world for too many years.
Far too long.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, and we'll see you next week. And Mary is standing by.
Come on, Mary.
She's
let's go.
She's gonna throw her hat in the air.
Meow.